Welcome to this week's Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Lorinda Marmo. You're from Toronto.
Yeah, from Toronto.
No, I never knew that because, you know, you see people online and you, of course you can't hear their accent.
Exactly.
You know, I, no idea at
until
all.
Until I start talking.
Yeah, and then you can, no, then you can hear it.
then you can hear it.
Yeah. So how long have you been in Malta?
About 25 years.
Oh, that's long. So you have Maltese heritage
and came back.
Excellent. So Toronto, I love Canada. Love Canada. And I've only been to Toronto once, so I want you to be my education.
Okay.
Don't put me off.
I'll try.
Don't put me off. I love the snow, so you can't put me off. And just want to know everything. So you grew up there. So
yes, I was born there. Yeah. I grew up there. Most of my education was there. And I still feel so connected, even though I've been here for so long. I really do still feel so connected to there.
That's nice though, no?
Yeah.
So what was it like being a child there? Is it sort of, because you just imagine the nature and the space, and what's the difference?
It's just very big, very clean from what I remember. I mean, it is quite a while ago, but I, you know, I still kind of check in every now and then, and it's still quite the same, you know, very clean, a lot of nature, a lot of things to discover, very open spaces, and still very multicultural, I would say as well, because I remember that as something that was, I was impressed by that as a child. So I would visit, for example, like Little Italy or Chinatown.
So, and you'd have that mix of cultures and you had, you know, any kind of food and
all sorts
of different celebrations, I would guess, as
well. Yes, for sure.
And is there lots of, you know, like obviously your parents are Maltese, both of them Maltese?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. So they'll be now Maltese with Italian, Maltese with Chinese.
Exactly.
Sort of mix of cultures, which is what I love when you have to, you know, you see these couples deciding how they're going to bring up their own children
or
the things they're going to take through with them. So what childhood memories and do you have of being there? Do you have, was it very artsy? Was it very outdoorsy? Did you ski in the winter and sail in the summer? Did you play on the street? What was the...
Skating was a very big part of my childhood. So I always tell my son Henry where he takes, for example, running shoes to gym class. Yes, I still say running shoes or sneakers. We used to take our skates outside.
Roller skates, this
No, ice skates.
Okay.
So every season, I remember my dad would say, okay, are you guys all geared up and do you have, and like they'd, my parents would make sure we'd had snowsuits ready because that was, you know, here it's swimsuits. But growing up, we always, it was standard to make sure we had our snowsuits, which meant like the pants, the waterproof pants, trousers, and the jacket and ice skates. We had to get them sharpened. And if they didn't fit from season to season, we would get a new pair. And then those would be come along with us to school. And on recess break, we would just take our skates outside.
So because it freezes or there's lakes or whatever?
No, we had, where I went to school, I was like fortunate enough to have like these, we had big, huge grounds. So we had playgrounds and then we had like a lower level, which there was like an actual ice rink. So we'd be able to go down and skate during lunch break.
I bet you miss that.
I do. I really do. I really do.
Do you get to go... You know, do you skate when you go somewhere and kind of bring out this hidden talent?
Yeah, I kind of feel like, oh, I remember this. It's like, you know, they say it's like riding a bike, kind of. And I'm like, okay, I get like this nervous feeling. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't forgotten.
I can still like keep my fingers.
Yeah.
That was my objective when I do actually skate as well. So growing up there, going to school there, what was school like? Is it Monday to Friday? Did you have
Monday to Friday? A regular day. I always remember like from 9 till 3:30 in the afternoon. We had a lot of opportunities. I remember like school trips. My first like week long school trip was traveling to Quebec.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and that was like the highlight. I was, I think, 13. So that was amazing. Other school trips would be like a week in a lodge in the middle of nowhere, you know, and glass panel windows from roof to floor and, you know, just snow everywhere. And
how lovely.
It's beautiful. Yes, it's just beautiful. These, you know, it was growing up with those kind of experiences. They're something I'd never forget, you know.
And you really appreciate them, especially when you do change yes. where you yes. live and you live yes. somewhere with maybe less trees and less snow.
Yeah.
But on a serious note, so, you know, there's a lot of fun. You can skate, you can mm-hmm. snowboard, you can ski. But what did you... You know, did you get locked in sometimes because of the snow? Is it things you had to sort of be able to entertain yourselves?
So
what happened? Because those were the days before MTV,
yeah,
you know?
Before so everything. I mean, I remember the times. Winter would come around and we would turn the radio on in the morning because mm-hmm. we would see like it's like the snow is coming down. And my brother and I would like, okay, let's listen to the radio. Because back then it would only be announced on the radio. We didn't have internet.
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh. Right? And they would say, they would do a list of which schools would be closed.
Were you praying for yours to be
yes.
closed?
Yes. So our, like, you know, we would literally be snowed in and we wouldn't be able to open the door to
wow,
get outside.
Okay.
So just, I mean, most of the time it would be just a day. But obviously school buses wouldn't run, the streets would be full, and until the snowplow comes around, you can't get out of your driveway.
So you have to be quite organized in terms of having supplies and food and
yes.
things to entertain yourselves.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
In fact, in our house, we had like a cellar, kind of like mm-hmm. a cold room, and it was literally like a room that was a fridge.
Okay.
So it was an extension of our fridge. And we had like the chest freezers because when you shop, it wouldn't be like around the corner. You would have to shop for like, you know, a case of chicken,
uh-huh.
like frozen chicken. But like we'd actually go to a farm. My parents would buy like a box of chicken and then store it in the freezer. But you'd have to have space for
yeah.
that. Yeah. You know, fruit and veg, the same. They would buy crates of stuff. Sometimes it wouldn't be like... ripe yet, so they would buy it and
okay.
then leave it in the cellar and then it would ripen. We had our own like little garden where they would grow stuff. My neighbor would grow stuff and we'd share. We lived quite central, but we still had a lot of these things because of, I mean, I guess the climate would dictate
yeah.
a lot of this.
So do you like now, or do you know, and did you do like pickling and preserving?
Yes,
and,
yes.
That
yes,
must be so
yes,
fab to just, yes. you know, just do that as routine. So
yes,
that
yes,
as
yes.
you grow up, it's part of your life.
And my neighbor, there was an older couple and they were from Calabria.
Okay.
I remember. And she used to do her own soppressata, the meats. And she had the same cellar that we had and she used to dry the meats. Uh-huh. And then she used to call us over. We like learned her Italian, kind of her Calabria, and she would signal to us to come and like try her preserves
Sweet.
Or her new fried food today. Uh-huh. So it was really nice like that.
Sort of like you said, you get to access to other cultures
yes.
living there. But because
yes.
Canada's known for that, isn't it?
Yes,
like
yes, yes.
The
yes.
whole world
yes, yes,
lives
yes.
there. And,
yes.
and I think that's what makes it the great place it is, because everyone's so nice to each other. They know what everyone else has been through to get there.
Yes.
And they really respect.
And very tolerant, very appreciative of different cultures. I mean, we had that neighbor, the other side, they were Greek. And again, they were like an older couple. Their daughters were older than us. So we had like playmates. Mm-hmm. And then the next house next to them were Muslim. And we had made friends as well with those kids. And we would like hop yards.
Ah. And if you were locked in, snowed in, you could
yeah.
sort of get into
yeah,
each other's
yeah, yeah,
houses
yeah, yeah,
and just
yeah,
make
yeah.
mischief.
Exactly.
Like the sound of that international mischief club
yes.
going on.
So. Yes.
But yeah. No, and then... As part of going to school, you do the normal graduation. Do you, most people stay in Toronto or do they travel across Canada or across the world to do their further studies?
I had actually, the end of grade school, you have to do an accreditation. And high school, you have to get a certain mm-hmm. number of credits to be able to go to certain universities. City universities, like University of Toronto, had a very, very high grade point average because obviously everyone wants
to go
stay
yeah, yeah.
in the city and you would save the traveling and the accommodation because if you're staying in the city you're staying home so out of the city they were still relatively excellent universities but you would have to live on dorms so that was something great and you had different opportunities depending on your grades. I wanted to go outside of the city because I felt like
it's part of the life,
adventure.
Isn't it?
I applied to three universities and I got accepted to three universities, but then my family decided to move back to Malta.
Ah, okay. So then you ended up
not
having to make that
decision. No, no.
There you go.
No.
But when you were growing up there and you're seeing your parents like socializing, mm-hmm. and you, like you said, having these different sort of ethnicities around you, mm-hmm. different countries around you, is there something that's Canadian? Is there, you know, do you, the Canadians, I just imagine them being perfectly on time, perfectly respectful, you know, casual but smart. You know, did you used to have people over for dinner? Would they turn up on time? What did they bring? What did you make?
Having people for dinner was like the way I grew up. We always entertained, or we would be invited over people's houses. It was something, it was just a normal thing. Mm. Yeah, you arrive on time. You make sure you're like dress code. There wasn't as such a dress code unless it was like an official event, like a party or a baptism. And it depends if it was organized in someone's home or if they were having like an official party catered in a space, for example.
But it's do you sort of take food to a Canadian's house, or do you just take wine or flowers or chocolate? What's did you notice?
I think it was mostly more of like a sweet something, so like a box of chocolates. I would recall a lot, ice creams.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And summers in I remember summers growing up would be great because, many of our friends that I remember, we would like visit in cul-de-sacs. So the kids would just like run around in the street up and down with their bicycles. We'd often take our bikes with us. If we knew that where we were going, we would be able to ride our bikes. Or if we were going somewhere and someone had a yard, like we had a very big yard. So our friends would always come and bring yard stuff. And the parents would just like be busy cooking the food, preparing food together.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't always formal, I would say. So it was very informal. So they'd either bring food with them, like if it was something like a barbecue, someone would bring a rice salad.
Yeah, okay.
Example. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff you see on TV and you sort of wonder why we don't all do that.
Very much so.
Okay.
It was such an enriched childhood because I felt like I would be able to taste things of mm-hmm. other cultures. I loved when people could come over with like their food or their special dish.
And I'd like the idea. And so because of the multiculturalism, so would your mum cook, or your parents, should I say, would they cook Maltese food, or they would cook anything?
There were many dishes that they cooked that I remember my mom would say, for example, oh, this, my mom used to cook it this way. My mom, you know, or my dad used to say, you know, my parents used to cook it this way. But then they adapted a lot of the things. I mean, I loved the traditional cooking, but then they would like adapt their own take to it, or depending on what was available. So we were in our, where we live, there were like Italian shops. And then, for example, if they wanted something specific, we would go like downtown to the markets, the open air markets, where they'd have like the only pizza dough my mom would use because, you know, so we'd go there and they got used to us. And there was like the open fish market, which was, you know, only that downtown in the city. So we would travel every so often and get like our stock.
Because you sort of have this feeling, or get this feeling of, you know, Canada generally meaning quality as well. Mm-hmm. It is that thing mm-hmm. where you mm-hmm. grow it, you know, it's well fished, it's well farmed, that kind of thing. And that's just something that seems to have stayed as well. Although I did discover, and, you know, curse you for it, poutine. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, we didn't have it. You didn't have that when I was growing up.
I had that. I went about 5-6 years ago, and
Toronto.
I became slightly addicted to that. Yeah,
yeah. That's something that I'm going to be completely honest, and maybe Canadians out there are going to.
You never had it. Maybe your parents
never had
just
it,
never, yeah.
And no one in my ever mentioned it.
Oh, I love it.
Really?
I love it. So it's like obviously fries with gravy and curd cheese. It's the most random mix.
I'm not sure when it became like...
I think it must be Tom... Who's that? There's a chain of restaurants and he's everywhere you go. I can't remember his name, but he's in the air. You know, as soon as you land from the airport, you see this brand. And they have them everywhere.
I have a feeling that it actually originated in Quebec.
And spread across.
And then spread across, but I think I had already left.
It could be, because that's French fries then with something. Yeah. But such a random mix, but so good.
Yeah. I know.
Man alive, so good. Yeah. So I'm actually...
I need to try it.
Yeah, yeah. I crave them, and it can't be that hard to make.
Yeah. But I think I have my definition or my reason about that, because it's not always about, you can make it, but it's just the
sense
experience.
Of place. Yeah, you've got to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll go back.
Yeah.
Didn't take much convincing.
There.
just for a plate of chips.
There you go.
I'm so easy. But outside of the chips and things, when it comes to the formal occasions, what would the food be there? Because you do have, literally a mix of cultures. Is it dependent on who's the host, or is there you would always find a this, and a this? Is there...
I think it really depended on if there were kids or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So I think when there were kids around, which growing up, we weren't always around, but I had the opportunity to attend events where there weren't maybe many kids or younger kids. So when there are kids around, it's always like chips and dip. And when I say chips, not fries, potato chips.
Translate for the listeners.
Exactly. Chips and dip is like, the thing was the thing. Pizza, which is like
international food.
And then barbecue was always a very, very popular thing in summertime. So, pop up some chicken on the barbecue, meat on the barbecue, and everyone just kind of walks around, picks up some...
Brings their, rice salad, whatever salad, and go from that. It's sort of almost a shame in one way that the world is globalizing, and we're all becoming quite the same.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have these traditions that are of our own, that you still travel for that.
Yeah.
And it's nice that these communities like the Little Italy's and whatever continue, so that they can pass on their traditions.
Exactly.
But that then you're exposed to, Canadian traditions as well. Exactly. And did you have any First Nation experiences, or in those days it was just different?
It's very difficult to have. I think we were all coming from different, a lot of Polish, Portuguese, Maltese had their community, but it was very difficult to someone who was
First Nations, I sort of noticed it when I was there last time. It was very prominent.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything's becoming more respectful and mentioning, burial grounds or grounds that are of importance where they were built over. But that's just something that, it's becoming more and more important, which is, it was always important, but now it's more and more to the fore, I suppose, to be able to experience things like that. But the mix of cultures as well, again, when you have weddings, for example, is there something Canadian, or is there
It's hard to say, because I it would always have the influence of their background.
Right.
So... if it was a Maltese wedding, and so the family would be generally Maltese, then they would implement kind of their traditions. If it was Greek, then they would implement their traditions. And it was always really interesting, because you'd be like, oh, this is how they do it. Oh, this is how they do it. Across the board, it would be generally the same in the terms of, it would be the mass or the ceremony, and then you'd go to the hall where the reception is going to be. Everyone really decked out in all their fancy dresses, and it would be a sit-down meal.
Oh, okay.
And then the dancing. And then I think the culture, the real culture, comes out with the fun stuff. The music they play, the dancing, the speeches, those kinds of
things.
So
is there any sort of hard and fast rules for dress codes or gifting? What sort of happens there? Is it, again, more Western, or is there
The dress code was fancy, I would say, I remember. And especially if it was an evening, so it was really decked out. I remember, you know, you'd have like all the mummies in like all the beaded dresses and very like, you know, yes, like my big fat Greek wedding kind of thing. It's like very, very, I'd say like on that up level European style kind of thing, as opposed to now being like more low key and, you know, But I really loved watching my mom get so dressed up and, you know, it was like so elegant. I think there was like that elegance and the hair. There was all this detail to hair and to jewelry and to like the handbag and the shoes, like everything all decked out.
And really sense of ceremony. It was really, you've made the effort to turn up at this event.
In terms of gifts, I remember a big focus on wedding lists. So if you weren't going to give a monetary gift, it was wedding lists. They were really popular back then, I remember. And then again, it always depended on who it was.
And what's the sort of general, I'm just thinking, you know, to put it all into context, what's the industry of Toronto? What is, I know there's a lot of media there, but is there is there a reason why people go to Toronto, especially knowing the weather conditions that they have? For example, I know Vancouver's a lot, the weather's a lot like London. Quebec is like a mini Europe, they say, you know, but a mini Europe, but French.
Yes.
You know, so, but what is it that draws people to Toronto? Is it work? Is it the culture? Is it the...
I think work and different opportunities that are available. It's central, so you have access to the United States, you have access to the rest of Canada. The opportunities, I think, are so vast, but in a concentrated area, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because your city's there, but then you definitely know this city is finished, you have to drive X to hit the next one. There's no sprawl. No, so I know, because it's actually quite scarily close how... To, you know, Toronto to New York.
Exactly. Really, we used to travel a lot to New York and to Buffalo and to, you know, we've gone shopping to Buffalo or like, you know, let's go to Buffalo for ice cream or something like that. You know, it's just across the board.
But then you're so... Not, you know, you are Canadian, you're not American. There's a definite difference, and they really don't like being mixed up.
No.
I think the Americans are happy to be mixed up with Canadians, but not the other way around. I think they would, they're happy to be, you know, oh, you're from Canada. Like, but if you tell a Canadian, are you from America? It's like...
I gathered that because often I have several times people have said, oh, are you American? I'll be like, no, I'm Canadian. They'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'll be like, it's okay. No offense taken.
Yeah, but you're nice. Actually, most Canadians are nice, to be fair. But, you know, it's almost an offense to
Americans would always like think that I would be offended by being called American. I'm like, it's fine. That's okay.
You're not okay. Excellent. We'll put that one away. how can you offend a Canadian? Because they are so sort of chilled and so, because it's so multicultural, whatever. What's the thing you can do that's just like, you know?
I don't know. I mean, there's like actual memes saying like, you know, they'll just say like, okay, and sorry, and yeah, and it's all right. And I don't know. I mean...
There's nothing really, there's not like, oh, you'd never do this, you'd never do this, or only an American would do that, or, you know, something along those lines. There's no...
I don't know. I think
just too chilled.
Chilled. Very chilled, I think. I would say very chilled. Or maybe, you know, like being intolerant, you know, just don't do that. And like just being open to different cultures, I think, because so many Canadians have like diverse backgrounds, you know? So I think that is just being aware of like, you know, the diversity.
Of who's where. Yeah, exactly. You know, you never know.
Exactly.
Your ancestors. And exactly, are really, exactly. Yeah, it's so, so vast. And then full circle, traditions of death, I'm guessing again that they'll be more related again to the culture of the family. But do people tend to stay in Canada once they've passed away, or are they... sent back to their...
Again, I would say it just depends on their culture and their agreements in terms of like their families and their rituals and how they've grown up and how they perceive and, you know, what death means to them in their culture.
Because there's no in-your-face religion.
No.
You know, it's another one of those things.
Exactly.
There's nothing in your face. It's all very calm and quiet just respectful, I suppose. That's the word that sums it all up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they have like their general, you know, the wakes and the funerals and the ceremony, depending on obviously the religion that they are part of. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say there's one hard and fast rule of like how they do that. Yeah.
And so is there anything that, you know, while we're all still alive, we should, because it always ends on such a downer, and you know, it's so while we're all still alive, if we had to go to Toronto, if we had to go to Canada, what should we eat? What should we see? And where should we go?
So definitely you need to visit downtown. You need to like travel downtown.
Yeah.
Because I think the city is just amazing. Just in itself, I confess I used to just after school just stay on the train and go downtown. On my own and just roam the city. Mm-hmm. But then I also recommend like staying in a cabin somewhere in the woods, because that is a completely different experience. Food wise, you are spoiled for choice, because you can just like every few blocks, you know, you have the Jewish quarter and then you have Portuguese town and you have Chinatown. So you're really spoiled for choice. You can literally eat around the world, which is nice, but they're very, very good. If you go in the summer, there's the Canadian National Exhibition, which is always an amazing thing to visit.
Is that in Toronto as well?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
In Toronto, it takes over. So there's like the Ontario Place and there's the CNE, and that's like a popular hotspot in the summer. There are the amusement parks in Toronto. There's Canadian Wonderland, which is like if you like amusement parks, which is really fun. And just the greenery in terms of like parks and recreation and walking around is just...
Green.
Green.
The thing that it's probably quite stupid, really, because I was there for a conference in Toronto a few years ago. But the thing that I really remember is needing to cross the road and not being able to find where the traffic lights were, because you just step onto the road and the cars stop.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's a city. It's a major city. And you just cross the road.
Yeah.
And no one beeps and no one's impatient. And it's just like, that's it.
Yes, it's like an unspoken rule.
Hmm. And just be nice.
And yeah, and no one complains. Well, I mean, people complain, but you know, something else that's like super notable when it's really cold, there are the underground streets. So from building to building, you don't have to go outside.
Yeah, that took us a while to work out.
Yeah.
We went in the summer and we were like, God, they're so lovely. There's no advertising. There's no this. And then I had to find a hairdresser because I'm vain. And it told me on the map, it's here. And I'm like, it's not here. It's not here. And eventually a chap came out and he said, what are you looking for? I said, he said, oh no, come with me. And you know, he took me down this elevator. I'm like, there's this whole other place going on. So
yeah.
I'm excited to go back to Canada.
You
haven't put me off. There you go. So thank you so much for talking to me
this
week. Lorinda Marmo on the Good Manners Map.